Hey, Startup Chat listeners, this is Steli. In today's episode, we're going to do something different. During the holidays, we're going to release some of the most popular, or re-release some of the most popular episodes of the Startup Chat history. We've done now almost 300 episodes. And today, what I want to do is I want to give you the how to get to your first 10 customers episode to listen to. This is by far the most popular episode we've ever done. I mean, by an order of magnitude. And it's probably for very good reasons. So if you're at the very beginning, this could be the episode that makes all the difference that gets you those first crucial customers. But even if you are past the 10 customers with your current startup or business, I have a feeling that some of the tactics that Hedin and I discuss in this episode are going to be very valuable and useful to you guys. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Go find these people first in your immediate network. Do I have family members, friends, coworkers, you know, alumni, people I know that are in my network that would fit into that customer profile? And then just go and talk to these people.
Yeah.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Hedin Shah, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Okay, so how to get your first customer.
All right.
So
we're going to talk about how to get your first customer. We're talking about it because it's the most popular thing on last week's question in our Facebook groups, thestartupchat.com/FB, that Steli put. He asked, like, what we should talk about, and it got, like, 8 likes.
Yes, so...
Nothing else got 8 likes.
No, and just to give people context, this exclusive group, we're talking about 300 people in the group right now.
Yeah.
300 people are in the Facebook group. It's getting more and more active. It's kind of cool. This morning, there were already, like, 3 or 4 people posting questions, suggestions, ideas, things like that. But, yeah, we got, like, 8 people liking. How did you get your first 10 customers? So let's talk about that. So... Hedin.
Yeah.
Which business do we want to talk about getting your first 10 customers for?
Let's talk about... I do it for all my businesses the same way.
All right. What's your game plan? What's your formula for getting your first 10 customers?
Yeah. I like putting up an early access page really early.
Okay.
So like I'll pop one up like the second I have the idea and I know that it's the business I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And what I mean by early access page is like literally a domain with a home page and that's it. And it collects people's emails. And I know it's a really popular thing now. You could use a lot of things to power it. But I like doing that first. That way at least I'm collecting emails.
Right.
And then after that, the tactics I use to get the first 10 customers, there's one of two. One would be if it's something I'm building and I know I can email people I already know to use it.
Yeah.
I'll do that. So at my current company, QuickSprout, even though we have a big audience, we're actually doing that with our product. So we're emailing people we already know so that they can use a product and we can get their feedback.
Okay.
And then the second method, which is related, would be if I had to start from zero, had no friends, let's just say, for example, and no audience yet, I would literally start blogging about what I'm doing to the audience that I'm trying to get. So to the customers that I'm trying to get, I'd be blogging about things that are relevant to them. I might even be talking about what I'm going to do. Talked about like, hey, I'm thinking about building something in this space. Here are the problems I've noticed, or here are the people I've talked to, a bunch of people. I've noticed these problems. If you're also somebody, you know, that has these problems, then fill out this form. I'd like to talk to you.
Right.
Right.
So you would start. You start with a landing page or a form saying, hey, this is what we're potentially going to build. If you're interested, sign up.
Yep.
You know, and you share it within your network.
Yeah.
You start blogging about the topic.
Yeah.
You know, and tell people, hey, we're trying to learn more about this issue, trying to solve it. If you're interested, let's connect.
Yeah.
I remember you guys with Kissmetrics starting with a Twitter account.
Yeah.
More, right? Just start tweeting about everything you learn. Start following people that might be customers.
Yeah.
Right? That might be a good idea.
Yeah. And just, even joining in the conversation. So the social media folks would call that joining in the conversation.
Exactly.
For us, I think it was a time when Twitter was very popular and growing. I wouldn't say Twitter's popular in the same way right now and growing. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use it, but if it's really just finding out where your audience is. So, you know, the tactics I would use around first customer and like what we did with Twitter is we just realized our audience was on Twitter. People were talking about analytics because that was the product we wanted to build. And it was mostly marketers and they were already on Twitter. They had a hashtag and we started joining in the conversation. So we would tweet things with the hashtag. We would link to other people's content and that helped us build the following.
All right, let me give you some alternative tactics.
Great.
Because I didn't use these tactics really in the early days when we got our first customers.
Yeah.
Well, for Elastic is a great example. When we CloseIO as software, we built first internally for our own needs, running a large services and outsourcing business for sales.
Yeah. So can I step back on that one?
Yes.
And just, can I explain it from my point of view as a standard tactic? So
yeah.
I think you guys use one of my favorite tactics, which is, and I know you kind of accidentally fell into it, but you could be deliberate, right? So you do consulting around the problem that you're trying to solve. And you guys actually built, I'm assuming, a pretty large business doing consulting, helping people with sales. In that process, I'm assuming you had engineers and people that could build things. So you started building tools because the tools out there weren't really satisfactory for you, what you guys were trying to accomplish. And then you now don't do any of the consulting anymore and you're selling the shit out of the product.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so even stepping back, if you look at Elastic Sales, when we had the idea to start the services business, we had this, you know, grandiose idea of building the Amazon AWS for sales. Like, would it be awesome if there was like this massive operation of salespeople? And when you're an entrepreneur, you can just log into an account and go fire up 5 salespeople for me.
Oh, I wish you did that.
Yes,
I wish it worked.
Yeah.
Now I want to know why it didn't work.
Well, and it's like you can see them like making calls. You can listen to
the
calls.
That's awesome.
Right? And you can scale it up or down whenever you want. Right?
Wow.
So that was the original idea. And we're like, holy shit, that would be amazing. Right? So why is nobody doing that? And we're like, well, it's probably pretty fucking hard to do. And we're like, well, that's a lame excuse of not doing it.
Yeah.
So at that moment, when we got really excited about the idea, instead of spending any time researching things, coming up with a name, doing any of that bullshit, we thought, all right, what's the fastest way to market validation, right? That this is a problem.
So validate the idea.
Validating the idea.
Okay.
And we thought, well, let's just start cold calling some startups and try to sell them on buying this solution and see what they're going to tell us. See what the issues are they're going to have with it, if they're really interested in it or not, what the pricing sensitivity is going to be. So what we did is we literally had this idea on a Tuesday, and then later that day, we scraped Crunchbase for B2B startups that had raised a Series A or B. Then we selected the companies out that we knew personally. And on Wednesday, I started cold calling these companies. And I had a fake name. I was Steve Eli. We had no website, no name, no credibility, no references, no nothing. And there's the script for that pitch, for that cold call, is out there. And if you want to just shoot me an email or tweet us.
Well, we'll link it in the show notes.
We'll link to it in the show notes. So, and there's video material of me explaining why that script worked well. But what I did is for 2 weeks, I just cold called a shit ton of companies. And I tried all kinds of business model, pricing models. I was just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks or not. And our internal benchmark was, hey, if we can get one company to want to pay us money for this, although we have no credibility, no nothing to show for, maybe we're onto something.
Yep.
And after 2 weeks, we had 7 companies that wanted to pay us money.
Yeah.
And we're like, holy shit. All right, now let's see if we can actually deliver on what we promised them.
Yeah.
So we picked the 2 most different clients possible to learn.
Nice.
And we started doing sales for them.
Yeah.
And so within 2 weeks, we had a pipeline of 7 potential customers and 2 paying customers.
Awesome.
And these customers were paying us, I don't know, like $300 a day or something.
Yeah.
Right? So this is like almost a K a day.
Yeah.
It's not a bad start for 2 weeks of work.
No.
But the philosophy behind it, or the tactic that we used behind it, was go immediate to the customer and start selling as quickly as you can from idea to validation.
Yeah.
And then in our case, the medium that worked was cold calling.
Yeah.
But that will not work for everybody as well as for us, because A, we're good at it, and B, we were selling them that we would be doing cold calls for them.
Yeah.
So it is the right medium
to acquire.
It worked out. And we, a lot of
that
times,
makes sense.
We could just tell people when they were like, well, I don't know if the quality of the salespeople are going to be good. We'll be like, do you like this sales call?
Yeah.
Because if you do, I'm going to be selling for you.
Yeah, right? There you go. So I'm like, hey, what do you got?
If you like this, then if you like me, we're good, right?
So I think that you hit on a point, and I think most people would miss the point, so I'm going to stress it.
Oh, please.
Because I have a lot of fun with that exact point, which is when you can find an advantage like that, like, you have to be able to understand how to find those advantages. I think you found an advantage. It was probably partially accidental, but the advantage was it's a little bit hard to understand, even for me. Like, when it's easier to see it harder to like make it up.
Make it up.
But like when I see it, I'm like, holy shit. So what I saw there on what you said was you're cold calling people and you're selling them a cold calling service. Yes. Basically.
Yeah.
Right. When you can find a way to do that, it's amazing. Right. So in my case, the stuff we build is content marketing. Right. So here's an example of how that would work. We've built many blogs. Right.
Yeah.
That get tons of traffic. So we're the best people to help you do content marketing. So this is why Neil and I, my co-founder, are doing a software for content marketing, because we already have that established experience, right? To be able to say, hey, we can already do this for you, right? So I'm sure that most people that are listening to this have something like that, that they could figure out, where it's like you're already coming in the door with a lot more, what is it? A lot more ammo.
Yeah.
Right. To get a deal, close a deal, or just prove that you can do something. And that addresses in sales what you would call a bunch of objections.
Yeah.
Right. So I just wanted to point that out, because so it's really cool.
It's a beautiful point. Yeah. And a lot of times people go, you know, what's your unfair competitive advantage? Yeah. Maybe another way of thinking of it is, what is your authentic competitive advantage?
Oh, that's so good. Authentic.
Yes.
Okay.
Authentic.
How does
competitive
somebody
advantage?
Find that?
Well, you ask yourself, what am I really good at? And then when you think, yeah, but that's not that valuable, or that's not that sexy, or it's not cool, or VCs will not fund this type of strength, then you tell yourself to fuck yourself, right? Yeah, just go fuck yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be – cold calling is not the sexiest thing in the universe in the Valley, but it led us to a lot of success because it was a core and authentic strength we had. Now, listen, many times before in my career – I would have given you an unfair competitive advantage that I had that was total bullshit. It was a wishful competitive advantage. It was something I wanted to be really good at. I thought it would be really awesome if that's my strength. So I try to make it like I try to own it, although it wasn't authentic. So that's why I'm stressing that word. Find something you're already good at, independently from if it's cool, fashionable, or if you think other people would value it or not. Just don't question it. Just ask yourself, what are you good at?
So get a piece of paper out right now and write down what you think you're good at.
Yes.
Regardless of whether anyone cares or not. Just write it down. Got it.
All right. So, and if you have doubts if that can lead to something valuable in the world, send us an email.
Oh, yeah. Send us the list.
Yes.
We'll help you figure it out.
We will help you figure it out.
Tell us what you're trying to do and send us the list. This is not a problem.
Yes.
I get what you mean. This is good.
All right.
Yeah.
So I want to share a few more tactics on like how to go about it, but then also talk about some of the mistakes or fears people have on getting their first customers.
Yep.
So
go ahead.
Some more tactics. Really think about this in the early days from a low-hanging fruit perspective.
Yeah.
All right, so if I want to sell to somebody, or if first of all, I have to ask myself, who would be a customer for this? And then go find these people first in your immediate network. Do I have family members, friends, coworkers, you know, alumni, people I know that are in my network that would fit into that customer profile? And then just go and talk to these people.
Yeah.
And even if you don't have direct access to these people, let's say I want to build a solution for CTOs, right? And I don't know any person that's a CTO.
You probably know a lot of engineers. They probably know CTOs.
There you go. Even if you don't know an engineer, you probably know somebody who works at a big company, maybe who's an executive there, maybe in the marketing department.
Yeah.
Well, go tell them about what you do and see if they can connect you with an executive in the engineering department.
Well, I mean, this is the reason I get all these emails like, hey, can you intro me to the head of engineering of Kissmetrics or
there
whatever, because they want to sell something, right?
Yeah.
But they don't know me. But that's different.
Yeah.
when you know them, they will intro you.
Yeah, they will intro you. Or find an angle where you can meet with these people, ask them for advice and feedback. And this is another thing. You ask for advice, you might get money. You ask for money, you get advice.
Yeah.
You might just at the early days go, hey, I'm building something new in this space.
Yeah.
You're an expert. I respect you. What's a good format for you for me to get a little bit of advice and feedback on my idea?
Yeah.
And then even if it's some technology, and you're showing it to a marketing executive, you can just go, I think executives at large companies will want to buy this.
Yeah.
What do you think is the problem about the way I'm thinking about this? What do you think will they not like? Because the CMO will know the CTO, right? They'll have work with them. They'll be able to give you feedback.
What I like about what you said is it follows one of the customer development principles of not, at least one I follow at least, which is not talking about the solution. So not talking about the product you're trying to build.
Yeah.
Because in this phase, when you're trying to get those first customers, you're not going to get them by telling them, I have this thing to sell you. You're generally going to, not even generally, you're mostly going to get better conversations and better learnings by telling them, I'm trying to solve a problem in this space And I'd love your expertise to understand if it's even worth solving, yes. right? Or something like yeah. that. Instead of saying, hey, I've got this product I have in mind and I'm going to build it. you yeah. know, can I talk to you?
Yes.
I think you're going to get less conversations that way and less learnings, and you're probably going about it the wrong way.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about the next thing that you need to pay attention to when you want to get your first 10 customers. Number one is you need to ask for them to be a customer. Like, ask them for fucking money. Go for the close. Go, if somebody's really excited about your solution, okay. and if they seem to generally be interested in it, go, hey, what would it take for you to become a customer?
Okay, so one objection that people probably have in their head is, how much do I charge?
You make it up. But I would do, here's my simple formula. Whatever the first numbers that come to your mind, multiply it by 3.
Cool. So just charge something.
Charge something.
Yeah. And don't make it low. Make it appropriate for what you think make this is worth.
Make it high.
Okay.
Right. Higher than Good. You're comfortable, because your yeah. comfort level is probably off.
That's right.
More likely yeah. than not, it's off. And the other thing is...
Well, but if I don't have a product yet or a solution, how do I charge for it? I'm just hitting you with objections.
Yeah,
a lot
I love
of people
it.
Are gonna
I
have
love
these.
It. You know yeah. how you charge for it? Easily. You just go, hey, you know, this is what we're going to build. And if you put down, let's say, a deposit today, here's what you're going to get. We're going to have 10 early access members.
Yeah.
And if you put down a deposit, you're going to get a lifetime discount that's insane. That's like 60% less than everybody yeah. else is going to pay. You're going to be the first to get access to it. And you're going to get an insane amount of support, service, and consulting fees all for free for us, all waived away yeah. because you're part of our early access program.
Yeah.
Right? We only have 10 seats. I'm talking to 30 companies that are interested. First come, first serve. Do you think you're interested in participating
yeah.
in that?
Yeah.
Put down if it's fully refundable. It's $10,000 deposit. It's fully refundable. It's $500 deposit. Whatever the fuck
yeah.
is,
doesn't matter.
Is whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Make them pay some money.
Yeah.
Make them get some skin in the game.
Yeah.
And also, I have people that tell me, oh, we have some early customers, da, 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 da. And then later in the conversation, I go, wait, wait, wait. Do you charge for these customers? Not really. I'm like, then they're not customers. They're users, right? That's cool. They're people that are playing with a product, but they're not a customer
no.
by design is paying you money.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So, you're asking for money for many reasons. Number one is you want to figure out what is the way to sell the value.
Yep.
What is the price sensitivity? How does price affect the conversation? You want to get them to get some skin in the game. So a lot of times getting them to invest money will make them more committed and more invested yep. in getting value out of the solution. There's many, many reasons to ask for money.
Well, I mean, the simple reason is eventually people are going to have to pay you money for you to build a business.
Yes.
So the sooner you ask for money, the better.
The better. And the sooner you're going to learn like how to build the right business
yeah.
model around this,
right?
Right? So ask for money. Ask for people to become customers. It's a simple question. Once you get interest, go, what would it take for you to become a customer? What do I need to do to make you a customer? The next thing is, all right, so pricing is an important thing that we hit on. Just
yeah.
charge something.
Yeah.
And again, a lot
you're
of
not trying to find the perfect pricing right
no,
now. You're just
that's
trying to charge
it.
Something.
Yes. And you can change it later. It's
good.
All right.
Good.
You don't need to get it perfect. The next thing is, people ask, well, I have zero credibility. How do I get my first customer when I don't have any customers?
Yeah.
Well, here's the trick. You know, when you're small, you look at this as a disadvantage. And in some ways it is, but in other ways it is an advantage. There's pros and cons to being really small. There's pros and cons to being your very first customer. And what you need to learn is you need to figure out how to frame the conversation in a way that highlights the pros.
So I think there's one easy one, which is you're just going to get more attention.
Oh,
I give a shit. I built the product.
Yes.
You're going to get more attention. When you want a feature or you want some bug fix, it'll get fixed.
Yes.
Right? So being able to tell them that, like, yeah, you're in early. You're going to get a discount on the long-term thing. And as long as you believe in us being able to solve this problem, we're better for you. And the reason is because we're small. So you flip it over to be a strength. I really like that you said there's pros and cons. For me, there's only pros.
There
Because if you act like there's any cons, and I don't think you're going to think about it the right way. So for me, I think small is beautiful. Small is great. And it doesn't matter the size of the customer. They can appreciate that if you are true to being small. And I've seen this over and over again. I've talked to a lot of self-funded entrepreneurs, and they tell me, oh, I'm making a couple million bucks a year. And, you know, the thing that keeps our customers happy is the fact that we give them better service than anybody else because we can and we give a shit. The founder's on the phone. The founder's answering emails
yeah.
for customers. And I'm not saying that scales or anything like that, but, like, this company, I just talked to them yesterday. They have $2 million run rate. And, like, the founder's telling me we win deals because I answer the damn emails. I'm like, yeah, I get it. That's good. Like,
yeah.
keep doing that.
Yes. So that's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So that's your advantage. You're going to give them founder-level attention. The
yeah.
CEO is going to personally service you.
Yeah.
You're also an expert probably in what you do. You
right.
know, just like – usually when you start in such a niche that within a few months you're thinking about this problem day and night, 24 hours a day. So within a few weeks, you're becoming one of the leading experts in this area.
Yeah.
And you're going to know a lot more than them about this. So you're a true, you know, asset for them. And also, there's a reason why they're at the table. Always remind yourself of that. No matter how big the company, no matter how important the executive that's in front of you, no matter how intimidated you are, and no matter how intimidating that person is, there's a reason why that motherfucker is in that room, sitting at that table talking to you.
That's right.
If you're that unimportant, if you can bring nothing to the table.
How'd you get that far? Why'd you get that far? Yes. It doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter. There's a reason why they need you. There's a reason why they're talking to you.
But that's just more mental, right? Yes. At the end of the day, your size, your credibility, that's all mental. I think this is one of the things that people have the hardest time getting over unless they've already done some consulting. Because in consulting, you're basically bullshitting your ability to do something.
And in life.
But especially in consulting, right? Yeah. You're convincing people to give you money for something you might never have done before.
Yes.
But they don't need to know that.
And then, you know, to be fair, and that's another maybe important point. When people ask, well, our solution's not ready yet or this or that. Some people are like, yeah, but still, I don't want to charge for something that doesn't exist. Or I don't want to charge if I know that my product is buggy or something else. I'm like, motherfucker, just charge and then refund it.
You can always give all the money back.
You always give all the money back.
Yeah, you don't have to tell them that either.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. To me, it's better to go, you pay me X. Yeah. And if you're not happy, you get all your money back. Yeah. Than to tell them you get it for free.
That's right. I like that.
And it's the same risk for the customer. You can be super authentic. If you think you're not delivering value, give them their money back.
Yeah.
But ask them for money first. Don't sissy around that issue because you're not comfortable or not confident. Go ask them for money and always know, I'm going to be a good person. We're going to be a good, authentic, and truthful business. And if we don't create value, we'll give people their money back, right? Until we figure out a way to do that. Yeah. All right. So.
Tips time.
Let's do it.
So my tip for this is that people spend so much time thinking about how to get their first customers, they never really do.
Mm.
So just go try to get, I mean, we gave you enough tips, like depending on, you know, where your SKU is, whether you like picking up the phone and talking to people, or it's easier for you to build a landing page, or it's easier for you to write a blog post or do some tweeting. Just go try starting to get customers and then you'll start getting customers. I think, you know, there'll be a bunch of links in the show notes too here about tactics, tips, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the hardest thing is that you're probably too worried about getting your first customers that you're not getting them, especially if you're already thinking like, oh, how do I get them? So instead, just go start doing things so that you can start having the motion towards getting the customer.
Exactly. All right. So here's my tip. Beautiful.
Yeah.
My tip, here's a challenge for you. If you're listening to this and you don't have 10 customers yet, in the next 24 hours, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask 10 people to become your customer. And I don't care who that is. Can be your mom, can be your neighbor. I don't care. Just get it out of your system. Get into the habit of asking people, here's what I build in a sentence. Do you want to be a customer?
Yeah.
Take that challenge. 10 people in the next 24 hours. Let me know how it goes. If you need a kick in the ass, more than happy to call you and shout at you.
That's a wrap. Join our Facebook group, thestartupchat.com/FB. And we will see you next time.
See you next time. Go get them.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.